As our children begin that adulting stage, our roles as parents change in a big way. Mark Cameron, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and Jim Burns bounce around some ideas on adjusting the parental role. Following is a question from Chester on the difference between a therapist and a counselor. And then Mark Cameron and Dr. Alice Benton and Brian Perez field Rob's question on how a Christian can be lonely.
Well, what's great about having Jill and Jim in the studio today is, Jim, you wrote a book on doing life with your adult children, and Jill, you wrote a book on forgiving your fathers and mothers, which is designed for adult children. And so we often get questions on adult kids struggling with their parents and parents struggling with their adult kids. Yeah. So it'd be fantastic to be able to get both sides here and some wisdom that can be given. Jim, what are
Well, can I just say first, before you jump in, let's just remember that not all parents and not all kids are created equally.
Yeah.
So
correct.
There are varying issues on both sides.
Totally.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well,
what's the most common struggles that you're hearing, Jim?
Well, I think to answer it, and then I'll get into that struggle, is that, you know, as a parent of adult children, Kathy and I didn't know what we were doing. We had never parented an adult child, so we didn't know how to do that. And our children didn't know how to be adults, right?
Right.
So you have this, especially in those younger years of adulthood, they're still trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure it out. And so, you know, that's where you need some grace and patience and things like that. What I hear most from, now I'm moving into Jill's area, but what I hear most from young adults is, my parents have not given me the passport to adulthood. They are still trying to run my life, you know. So I have one of my principles is, unsolicited advice is taken as criticism. And the parents, parents aren't doing that because they're being mean or weird. Their intentions are always good, but in that, the kids hear, you don't trust that I'm all grown up. Okay, now you pile that into Jill's book, where sometimes you have to forgive because the parents haven't done a really good job, or there's a real dysfunctionality that goes on, and they need to forgive, but they also need to work through some of the pain and hurt that's come from. So I'm not talking about that as much as I'm just simply saying, if we keep giving advice, we're not going to do that.
I can't tell you how many times my oldest reminds me how old she is, right? With every year, it's like, okay, here we go again. Right. So obviously I've said something not realizing that has made her feel young, or that I don't believe in her or think she's competent. And it can be the most benign thing. And so I have to remind myself, okay, at that age, right, they're still differentiating and becoming their own person.
Exactly.
They don't, in their 20s, they don't feel secure enough yet in their own adulthood.
Yeah. You know, I think that now we're talking personally, but in my life, our kids got over that in their 30s, because my kids are in their 30s. And so in the 20s, we're like, all we said was, maybe you should do this, you know, and we were trying, they're like, no, you know, I'll make my own decision or whatever. And these are, and I have wonderful kids that way, but they would be pushing. By the 30s, now they're asking us questions. I went, wait, this has changed. We've now moved to become more mentors, but you know what? It's also because of the scars that you can see on my tongue, biting my tongue, because I go, we have four grandkids. I wouldn't raise the grandkids that way. I wouldn't have done this or that way. But we just bite our tongue. And you know what? That means we're safer. And so they will talk to us about stuff if we'll wait.
Yes, because I think in that young adulthood, again, the 20s, and I know there are issues regardless of the decade, but in the 20s, they're sorting through, right? Their brain, mid-20s, is just coming fully online as fully developed. And they're sorting through and making sense of their lives. Yeah. And so to be able to remember that we need to allow them to have their perspective, even if it feels wrong, even if we want to say, no, that's not how it happened.
And that is really hard when see the bus heading for the end of the cliff.
Right.
Yes, it is. But even when they come around to then tell you, when mm-hmm. they do take that risk, which to see it as a compliment
yeah.
that they're willing to say, but it is hard to bite your tongue and listen
yeah.
to them mm-hmm. kind of sometimes drone on and on about
right.
stuff mm-hmm. that they're sorting through and the way that you have failed them
yeah.
And the way they see things.
Yeah.
And so I'm always reminding myself, okay, even though she's telling me I failed her, right? The fact yeah. that she's telling me I haven't mm-hmm. failed her.
Right.
Right.
Well, and
right.
I'm learning to move between these stages here, like you're yeah. mentioning here, mm-hmm. Jim. And in your book, you talk about there's a stage of transitional
right.
adulthood. Mm-hmm. And like you're
right.
saying here,
yes.
Jill, that, you know, we don't get this fully adult brain until the mid-20s. And so you've got between 18 when they graduate high school mm-hmm. and they all of a sudden get their, which I love this phrase, the passport to adulthood legally,
yeah.
where they can make their decisions.
Right.
And then you've got somewhere through the
oh.
mid-20s where the brain kind of fully kicks into...
Yeah.
Fully development
yeah.
gear. And so it's moving between the stages. I once heard someone talk about that parents have these different roles where you go from teacher and then you move to a coach and then you move to a counselor, which is
right.
what I think that you're talking about
yeah.
here now that your kids are in their 30s.
Yeah.
They're coming to you for advice. So, but I'm
yeah.
in this transitional stage
right.
between, you know, seeing and recognizing that they need to do these things for themselves, but to also be the coach to come alongside and offer suggestions to them rather than it being more directive and then them pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's where we have to really have discernment. And what's hard mm-hmm. is just as we do it with one child, I mean, raising a child, and then the next one comes along and you go, we're doing parenting differently when they're eight. Well, that's the same, mm-hmm. I think, in the adulthood. Some
yeah.
some will need more help, especially in mm-hmm. those what we call the emerging adulthood. Dr. Jeffrey Arnett is the key thinker of this emerging adulthood. You know, when I was in grad school, I learned that there was children, teenagers, adults, and elderly. But now nobody's teaching that because they all say now there's this emerging adulthood. They called mm-hmm. it latent adolescence until Arnett came along, who's an academic, you know, from back east, some of the, you know, Ivy school type things. But what he's saying is because their brain is not fully mm-hmm. functioning and mm-hmm. the decision making process, you can blame it on the brain a little bit. But, you know, you have to walk clearly because some kids by the time they're 25 are pretty set. Some are not
mm-hmm.
now. And part of it is some of their life choices, because we see them meandering toward marriage, meandering toward responsibility. But once they get married, guess what? The number one thing they want? They want a good marriage and they want to be good parents.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty adultish, if you would, mm-hmm. but it's that process. So you might have one, you know, 25-year-old who really has kind of figured it out. They need a different type of parenting than the 25-year-old who's still, you know, playing video games and smoking some pot and hasn't decided what they're going to do when they grow up.